Hey, this is Justin Ross, and you're listening to Seattle Wave Radio.
Standing by for launch command, T-minus 2 minutes. Standing by for launch command, T-minus 1 minute.
In this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win, and the others too.
Filled with chaos where the dreamers struggle to find their way, there is a light. In an industry riddled with sacrifice and self-doubt, there is a voice. At a time when we need one another more than ever, there is hope. Houston, we have a program.
And welcome to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio, recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. Oh boy, today's going to be a great show. We've been in the green room before the show started, and our guest is a hoot. He's a hoot! Damn it. Fort Worth, Texas native Justin Ross is a delectable hybrid of rock, soul, roots, blues, swamp rock, Texas music, and much, much more. Ross intertwines the genres of music into a show that makes for the masses. Throughout the course of his career... Wow, Justin, was that a real dog or was that the ghost dog?
That was the dogs.
That was the dog. Okay, cool. No, that's okay. It actually, having the dogs, the kids, the wife, the ghosts jump in every now and then makes it for a real show. I like it. So,
gives you character.
Before I was so rudely interrupted by the real dog, where were we? Oh, yeah, okay. Throughout the course of his career, and Cracky, check this out, he has played with a variety of different bands, such as Aaron Lewis, Everlast, Art A from Everclear, badass, Warrant, Winger, Hinder, Stoney LaRue, Bob Schneider, Fuel, Monty Montgomery, Brandon Jenkins, Johnny Cooper, No Justice, The Departed, and many, many more. Please join myself, the beautiful Cracky, and Mark from Seattle Wave Radio in welcoming him to Houston, the Heat, the man who puts the Southern in Southern Rock, the man who lives with a haunted friend and a wife who doesn't understand what a load-in is, Justin Ross.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
Yeah. I tell you what, man, I hope you like that intro because that damn dog just blew the whole show.
She does that.
She does that. Well, you said she, so that you just, now okay. I understand much more. Anyway, hey, man, we are so happy to have you, brother. How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty good.
Some podcasts you get into, it's right to the point. Some podcasts you get into, and it's like this. It's like, I know it's 10:45 in Texas, but I kind of want to start drinking.
Yeah. Well, as the peeps who listen to Houston already know, Cracky's already tied one on by the time we get on here.
Hey, it's 5 o'clock in Glasgow, Scotland. So
hey.
you can have a glass of Scotch whiskey if you like.
Well, you can do that, but that's for your counselor to determine. So let's jump right into this bad boy. First of all, COVID. I mean, it was so nice to hear you talking in the green room about getting back and doing shows and stuff like this. But just give us a snapshot of what COVID did to you, to your music career, and also to your family. How did you cope?
Well, it worked out really well. I know a lot of people, you know, talk a lot about the negative. Oh, I did this and that and blah, blah, blah. But honestly, I've been playing music since I was six. I'm 39. And, you fall into a rut where you get to, you're doing the same thing over and over again. And you try not to be doing that. And that's exactly what I was doing. And no matter how hard you try and change it, it's paying the bills and you're scared to change it and et cetera. So COVID happening, as detrimental as it was to the nation and the world, for my own life, for my career, it kind of hit the reset button on that. I didn't have to start over and having people know who I am, but I was able to stop, slow down, assess the situation and go, let's tweak these things and fix this going forward. And if we do come out of this on a positive note, then I'll be ready for it when it lifts. And that's exactly what we did. So instead of swimming against the river, we swam with it. And it has been working out great ever since. With coming right out the gate when Texas lifted all the restrictions, etc., you know, we already had a record ready to go. We had singles ready to go. We had music videos ready to go. It was about the same time I met Paige Gregory, and she's, you know, we signed her up for the rest of the year to be our publicist, and Paul Folks came on as my manager, and it has literally launched this thing into, we just released 12 songs on a record a little over a week ago, and now we're preparing to do another record in July to release in October. And then we're going to do another record directly after that to release in May. So you're going to have 34 songs in 12 months.
Holy cow. Have you ever heard of the word ambitious?
Well, I'm not getting any younger. So I just want to, you know.
I am happy to hear you say that, because it's I'm not a full-time artist like yourself and my wife, but I know myself and my wife did the same thing. Just use the time. I mean, it basically provided, I mean, did it suck? Yeah. But it provided us something that we all always complain about not having enough of. And that's, you know, time. And of course, you bringing up, by the way, just back up for a second, you bringing up Paige Gregory. For those of you out there who don't know who that is, Paige Gregory is a publicist. She works out of Nashville, and she has a good handful of artists. Matter of fact, I don't know if you know this or not, Justin, but my wife, Jessica Lynn Whitty, also works with Paige.
Oh, nice.
And Paige is she's a monster.
She's a beast.
She's a beast. She never sleeps.
No.
Yeah, you know. I mean, and she thrives on that. I mean, and so congratulations for A, releasing so much new music, and for B, for getting someone who is going to do that. That's one thing that we like to do on the show with our artists, is get to know them so we can introduce, you know, you to people who maybe not haven't heard of you.
Right.
And Paige is, man, she's going to get you airplay. She's going to blow it up. So good for you. And just kind of a side note, I just want to let you know, I actually really enjoy your Sweet Caroline much more than Neil Diamond.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, oh, sweet. He's doing a cover. He's like, no. I was like, oh, that's very cool. Yeah. Sorry if I stole your thunder, Cracky, because Cracky's probably going, damn it, I was gonna say that.
No, you're the Neil Diamond guy, so.
Oh, I'm the Neil Diamond guy. Yeah. You're the Def Leppard guy. Okay, got it. So let's you bastard. Let's back up for a second and let's, if you will, pull back the curtains here in Oz. And I know you probably get asked this a lot of times, but to give people a point of reference, let's talk a little bit about how you got your beginnings. You said you started playing at six. Mm-hmm. Talk about that. I mean, was it a gift? Did you ask for it? Lay it on us. Tell us how that how the whole thing, how Justin Ross began.
So my mom was a country music, gospel, soul, blues, kind of all the way around that southern draw singer. And she was signed with RCA Records. And my whole side of my mom's family was musicians, whether that be, you know, banjo, fiddle, harmonica, guitar, but it all fell into the country scene of everything. And on my dad's side, my grandfather, his dad, played guitar and played, you know, a lot of blues and rock and roll, but mainly blues, old, you know, I could go on and on and on and on and on about that. But yeah, that's where the blues side came in. And my dad only knew like a couple notes, you know. My mom enjoyed the way they danced more than they did the guitar playing. So dad was like, you're the singer. You go be the singer. I'm just going to stand back and watch. And so I was kind of stuck in the middle of all this. And my grandparents and my dad's side had a bar in their basement called the Bear Claw. And I thought it was awesome. They were up in Kansas City. And as a child, I was like, what is this magical place of the basement? You know, and I would always hear awesome music that I didn't really get to hear at home coming out of there. Muddy Waters, B.B. King, Stevie Ray, et cetera, Clapton, you know, the Eagles, you know, just all kinds of stuff coming out of there that I didn't normally listen to at home. And so I would always hear that. And then my mom, when I was born, the label dropped her out of Nashville.
Bastards.
The day I was born, October 3rd, 1981. And they basically told her, you got to come up to Nashville right now, live it and breathe it. And she said, I just had a baby, literally 12 hours ago. Like, I need to rest and, can you give me a couple months to get on my feet here, get a babysitter, et cetera, to come out? They said, no, you got to come in the next, like, 48 hours. We need you up here for shows. She goes, well, there's no way I can do it. And they said, well, then you're excused from the label. And they dropped her. It was that quick.
It is, once again, educating our audience that the brutality of the brutality. People only knew how brutal this industry is. I mean, a lot of industries have their pluses and minuses, but it's you got to really, really, really love what you do, and you got to be educated behind the scenes about the business side of it, because a lot of the times, and I'm not going to say every case, but a lot of times on the business side, it's like you're a brand, you're, you know, what can they get out of you? And so so great. So now every time you have a birthday, your mom comes up and's like, Justin, baby, happy birthday.
no, she never really forced me into music either. It was when we went down to I remember going down to Houston. We went New Caney, just north of Houston.
Houston?
Houston, that's right.
All right.
See what I did there? See,
I see what you did there.
And so they had this was like a first like time family reunion. I think I was seven. I'd already started playing, like picking on guitar at six. When I was seven, we went to this family reunion and they had like a guitar picker, like picker circle, right, going on. And my mom stood in the middle and sang. And then there was just all these guitar players, fiddle players, banjo players, dobro, like lap steel players, like everybody just picking away. Yeah, totally. And I was like, oh my God. Like that was my first time. I was like, I want to be in that circle. Like, I don't care what I'm doing. I just want to, you know, all I wanted to do was get in that circle.
So back then, did you talk like the movie trailer guy as well?
No, yeah. That's just years of smoking and being like, coming to a theater near you. Yeah.
Justin Ross.
Yeah.
All right. So go back to the circle.
So yeah, got to the circle, really wanted to be in it. And then it was when I got home from that, that's all I wanted to do. I was just learning everything I could about guitar. I wanted to know how to play it, how to string it. I didn't even know what stringing it was, you know. So we ended up getting me into a couple of guitar lessons. And at the time, there wasn't a whole lot of guitar teachers around North Texas. And so we ended up finding this guy. His name was James, and James worked at the local guitar music shop down the street that was mainly for pianos. And so he didn't have a whole lot of guitars in his shop. He had more like classical instruments, cellos, violins, et cetera, pianos. So he said, yeah, I can help him out, you know? And so he got me just to knowing a few chords, how to pick. Well, the guitar that I had, I still have was a Yamaha classical guitar, nylon strings. So my hands at the time had a hard time fitting around the neck to hold these, you know, like a G, C, D, you know, et cetera. And
country my chords. Hands
were, yeah. I just even bar chords. I couldn't fit my hand up over the, around the neck because the they're so wide.
Right. Well, you were selling
the classical. So I was here. I am. Didn't know any better. So I'm trying to hold these chords and like I'm practicing at home, practicing. Year goes by and I'm playing Stevie Ray Vaughan, stuff like that. I'm playing that on this classical guitar. And my dad's like, you're getting pretty good at that. And then he's like, let's go get you a real guitar. You know, it's time we get you a real guitar. You've worked for it. And so like, my dad owned a lawn mowing company. And so I was always working for him, but he never paid me. I was just working for him, you know, son's duty. And he's like, hey, you know what? It's time we get you a guitar. And so we went down to the shop. He just pick what you took me to a pawn shop. It was over in Lewisville, Texas. Walked in and there it was, American issued black and white Fender Stratocaster. And I was like, ooh, yes. Nice. All right. So that's what I wanted. And it was a little bit more expensive than my dad wanted to pay for. So he made me work the other half of that guitar's payoff at work. That's what he did. Like, well, I think you worked this much, but I'll make you work this much to pay off the rest of the back end of that guitar.
Right.
And, I did. And I played the hell out of that thing. And, I remember the first time I sat down and plugged it into had a little Charvel amp. And first time I plugged it in, I felt the neck in my hands. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be able to play these chords no problem now. Like everything just seemed like, you know, I was just numb to it. I was a kid. I wasn't thinking the size of the neck difference and how the grip feels and how, you know, I've got more frets on the action, you know, the action, the going to electric strings versus nylon string. And so being as I was trying so hard on a classical guitar to make it sound like as close as it could to Little Wing or
you name dropping some bitch.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what I was playing. While other kids are playing Inner Sandman at that time, I'm over here, you know, like they're moving on to the Load and Reload record. And I'm over here playing Eric Clapton.
Yeah. Nice.
So, nice. I you know, grabbed this thing and I'm like, oh my God. And I remember the first kind of just the run down the neck I did on it. I was like, and I looked at my dad. I was like, is that what he feels when he's playing that guitar? And he's like, well, he feels a lot more than that. And that was it. On from there, started playing, kept playing blues. And then I got into metal. Then I got into punk rock. Then I mean, the road never ended. And here we are. I'm 39 and still rolling.
Well, you got about a.
I want to add, you don't look a day over 40.
So. Thanks.
And the funny part of this whole story, I used to live in Lewisville, Texas, and that black and white Fender Strat used to be mine.
He's probably not.
I sacrificed it for your career. Yes.
Thanks, see, he's trying to make you cry right now. He's trying to like, oh yeah, oh my God, there's a reason we look so much alike. What's your mom's name? just kidding. So no, that's cool, man. Thanks for laying that out on us. And it's interesting because, right, you know, as a I'm not a guitar player, so I couldn't, you know, my journey on where I'm at now is different, but for another day, but I can relate to the whole, your journey changes, right? So, you know, for me, you know, you start out doing this, then you go to this kind of music and eventually it all comes together and helps create who you are and shape who you are as an artist.
Right.
It's one of the reasons why when we have a guest on our show, we don't just listen to, like, you know, Paige, your publicist, just she sent us right back up. And but we'll go back, especially Cracky, and he'll stalk you. And we go out and find out, we go find other stuff you've done, because a lot of time the artist has so many other different styles out there, and you've got a plethora of stuff out there. And it's cool to hear that you're your mom was signed to RCA, and you were a sacrifice. Yeah. You know, not by her own choice. And that's a great thing. And I'm assuming that having that encouragement and support, obviously from your mom having you and supporting you while you're starting your music career, and your dad buying you a guitar and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, just so you know, that whole working at, you know, lawnmower servicing, that's called child labor. So maybe you should tell your dad that he probably owes you. I'm just saying.
Oh, he paid it.
Oh yeah, he did. Yeah. Yeah. He did. Good.
He had a plan, and he did it well. I was 10 when I could start finally holding the weed eater upright to edge with, and right, and so he kept working me, kept working me, kept working me. I was working down at my mom's mom and dad's house half the year as well. It felt like half the year they had a ranch down there, so I was constantly going down to Whitney, and I was literally on a horse, and I would ride fences and fix barbed wire and go to the garden and pick out weeds and stuff out of the garden. And
hold on, you say weeds or pick out weed?
What? Yes. Yeah. But yeah, I would go down there and work. And so all that money earned, let's see, it would have been my 13th birthday. We went to a junkyard down off of Mansfield Highway down in Kennedale, Texas, and walked in to pick out my first car.
At 13.
And I'll tell you why. My dad, his dream was drag racing, and that's what he did. He was notoriously known across Texas as a pro drag car racer. And if you go to any one of the strips in Texas, ask them who Horsepower Racing is, they will know exactly who you're talking about. He was well known at that. So we went there.
Very cool.
And I picked out a 55 Chevrolet Bel Air, and all it was on was a chassis and a body. That's it. There was no seats, no dash, no steering column, no engine, no transmission, no nothing. It was frame and body. That's it. Took it to the house, got it for $300. Took it to the house, and from 13 to 16, him and I built that car up from the ground up.
Man, that is cool. What a great... I mean, as you were describing it, for a second there, I thought you were reciting lyrics from Gilligan's Island. You know, like, no boat, no motor car, no simple luxury. You know, you, man, you're going to make us cry today. No, it is so beautiful. And I can tell just from talking to you that you realize that the man you are today, a lot of that has to do with your parents. And, and as, it's one of the biggest, it's one of the saddest things in this world. There's so much, people say hate, I say hurt. And there's so much hurt. And I think a good amount of it stems from people who weren't given tools as a young child. Not that their parents maybe weren't there, but that support and nurturing and all that, it builds us who we are. That your dad getting you a guitar, you're getting a car, but not getting you that, you know, that car that is ready to go, making you earn blood, sweat, and tears, like the musician proverbial 10,000 hours. Yeah. That teaches you life lessons. And I think that's valuable, man. That actually, you answered a question that I was going to ask later, probably Cracky might ask as well, but is, where does that soul come from? And don't need to, because we see it. I mean, you were brought up by some parents who really gave a shit and developed you. That's cool, man. Yeah. That's very cool. That must have been a lot of work. I mean, 3 years to rebuild a car. That's like, damn.
Yeah. The sad part, here's the tearjerker in all this.
Oh, no. You're going to make Cracky cry.
No, it might happen. So at 16, I just turned 16, and we fell on some hard times. And we ended up having to sell the car and to save the family. And then 3 months later, my dad was murdered. So when you ask where the soul comes from, that's where it comes from. When you have to go at 16 from being a son to now being the man of the house to take care of your mom, and then all that work that your dad taught you how to do, you start putting into, you're going to school for 2 hours in the morning, you're mowing lawns until 10 o'clock at night, you're paying bills on the table. By the time I graduated high school, I was running a full-fledged business, the second largest lawn mowing company in the state of Texas. And then we sold that at 23.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I know that was a long time ago, but I am so sorry that you, what a terrible thing to have to experience at any age, but let alone 16. What was your dad's favorite song?
Oh my God. man, I can remember him. Jeez, I would wake up in the morning, and so he had a shop out in the backyard. We lived in right on the edge of Colleyville and Hearst, and we had this big 2-car garage out in the backyard. And on one side of it was his landscaping, and the other side of it was where he had his hot rod at. And he would be out there in the mornings on Saturday mornings working on that hot rod, getting it ready to go to either we're going to go to a race that day, or we're going to be planning to go that Sunday, or maybe he was working on it Thursday. But he had 2 records that spun on a vinyl out there, and it was Hank Senior. Mm-hmm. I'd wake up, and it would just be cranked, and that's what I would hear at 7 o'clock in the morning, and then that would literally switch over to it was a blues. I can tell you the song, like I had a Manish Boy on there. I'm a man. I spell M-A-N. You know what I'm talking about? Manish Boy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Muddy.
Muddy. Yeah. And then it would have, but it had like B.B. King on it, and he had like a tape. So it was like a mixtape, because he had like a record player, and then it had a tape player in the front of it. And it had like Stevie Ray Vaughan on there, and it had like, and that's where I would, hear all this. So I'd wake up. He would either play one of the two, it just depending on what morning it was and how much whiskey he had the night before. If he drank the night before, it was Hank Williams. If he didn't drink the night before and he wanted a Kickstarter, you would hear blues play.
Well, I'll tell you what, with that list that you just said there, it doesn't really matter which record he put on. It was all badass. I mean, that's a radio station that this white boy wants to listen to. I'm going to tell you that right now.
All day, yeah.
So,
I'm wondering if you ever got confused and sent an 8-cylinder riding lawnmower out the door.
My dad was notorious for doing some crazy shit. I can tell you a quick story. We were coming back from Ennis, Texas, from a race, and we had this 85 four-door dually to pull the trailer with the race car, and we were running out of gas. And we had on those old 85s, they had dual tanks on both sides. Well, they both run out of gas. He thought the other one was full, and it wasn't. And when he switched over to it as we were driving, there was no gas in it.
And
he was like, shit. Okay, hold on. So he pulls over the side of the highway, and we're like 50 miles from a gas station. So he goes back to the race car trailer and pulls out the fucking alcohol fuel. And decides he's going to put this alcohol fuel in the, all right. Horrible idea. Horrible.
Yeah.
He's like, well, it'll get us down the road, And I'm like, on fire. Better not do that.
We're on fire.
Literally the mufflers under the truck started like popping extremely loud as we were driving. And you would see like a flame shooting out the side of the truck. Like, boom. I was like, yeah, this isn't good. He's like, all right, I see a gas station in the distance. I'm like, we're not gonna make it.
Oh my god,
pull the fuel line, drain it, and then we'll, He's like, yeah, got it. He goes, no, we're gonna get it. So he just floors it, and we're going, and there is literally fire coming out. I'm looking out the window, and there's fire coming out the back of the truck. And he only put enough in there just to burn through it quickly, and he did. And then we literally coasted, gooseneck trailer and all, just coasted right into a gas station. He's like, see,
we're totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The, Jesus. You, your hair hasn't grown back to this day, but yeah, we're totally fine.
Right the hell off.
Right yeah. the hell off. It's oh gone. My God. Well, that's, what was your dad's name?
Haas.
Haas. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if that was a lot that, you know, oh no, it's Ross, not Haas. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it was Larry Ray Willard was his name, but everyone okay. called him Haas because he was huge.
Okay, I'm happy to hear that you clarified that because, and no disrespect, please, no disrespect, no. But I was thinking, wait a minute, Haas Ross?
Yeah,
no. That son of a bitch must have got picked on a lot when he was in school. But no, that was his nickname. That's yeah. cool, right, cool, yeah, very yeah. cool.
He's a very big man, big dude.
Well, let's just, and I mean this very respectfully, let's dedicate today's show to your pops up in heaven, and he's probably yeah. up there. He's probably up there playing the sharp nine chords with Jimi Hendrix. So,
yeah, he or did trying to figure it out. One of the two,
exactly. You did a good. You did a good job, Haas. You got this, Justin Ross, who's one badass. So, thanks for sharing all that, man. Yeah, definitely appreciate that. So, let's go backwards. It doesn't always happen, but just happens that I have your list of A-listers that you've opened up for and supported, should I say. I have an interesting story, so we have a little bit in common. I never opened up for Warrant, but I was in a band at one time touring on the East Coast, and we were playing in Birmingham, Alabama at a place called Al's Crossroads. And we were playing there, and the owner of the club, funny enough, Al's Cross, yeah, anyway. He, that's why I have a podcast. That's the comedy clubs. Yeah, they won't even take my calls anymore. But so he
that was funnier than the joke.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. So that was funnier than the wait, you son of a bitch. You're making fun of me.
See?
Yeah, I gotcha. I like it. But you said Houston earlier, so I'll let that go. But anyway, so he comes up to us at the beginning of the night and he's like, Hey fellas, how you doing? And he goes, hey, just so you know, tonight Motley Crue is playing in Birmingham and Warrant is opening up for them. And a lot of times when Motley Crue comes through here, Warrant opens up for them. Janie Lane and the guitar player, I don't remember his name. Guy, actually, I'm happy I don't remember his name because he was an ass. But he goes, they a lot of times after the gig, they'll come to Al's and play some pool and do whatever. And we're like, well, that's cool. And so anyway, that happened. Later that night, all of a sudden this flood of people, I mean, the club was already doing well, but this flood of people, mostly women, come popping in the back door back by the pool tables. In walks Janie Lane and his guitar player. And we're on break at the time. And wasn't exactly how you kind of picture it to go down when you meet rock stars, right? Right. I went over and I just happened to be in the same place because our band was playing at that club. Anyway, we were able to get Janie Lane on stage. He basically was like, you know, I'll come up and sing the Down Boys if you let me play drums. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not funny. It's not really exciting, but that's my Warrant story. So that's it's not as cool as opening up for him, but
Down Boys go.
What the Down Boys go? Whoa, whoa. Exactly. We got our morning voices on. Hey, can you guys not sing? Yes, great. So, man, you got a kick-ass story for growing up, with the exception of obviously living your pop. But I think he lives in your heart. Can tell. Because, man, you got soul for days. Do you remember your first group? I mean, I know you said the guitar and doing your thing, but I mean, were you like a solo guy? You just did your own thing, or did you have a group?
Like band wise,
like a band. Yeah, your first band.
Oh my God, yeah, no, I remember.
It wasn't like a Michael Jackson tribute band.
No.
ABC. No,
my first attempt was, I had a buddy named Travis that also played guitar. And so him and I started getting together, working up tunes. And then we met a drummer and a bass player. And we all got in a room and we said, okay, we're all going to learn these songs. We're going to do a bunch of cover songs. And it was a bunch of stuff that I already knew, Travis already knew. And it was, Cold Shot and just a bunch of blues tunes. And these guys were like, yeah, we'll all learn them. So, like, we gave each other, like, 2 weeks to refresh up on everything. And everybody was supposed to practice with it. When we got together to play it, it was a fucking massacre. It did not work at all. Like, I was like, Did you do your homework? Well, I mean, I listened to it on my headphones, but I didn't really play with it. I mean, I could figure it out. Like, yeah, it was horrible. First successful group would have been SoCo, and that didn't come really later on until I was 19 or 20. A good friend of mine, Jared Hardigree, and I started a group called 12th of Never. And then
that's a cool band name.
And then we did SoCo after that. And then when SoCo lasted all the way up to like 2003. And that's a lot of where we played with a lot of these bigger bands and whatnot. And then it broke up. I moved back to Texas, continued SoCo down here just because the name was still, you know, paid for and we had stuff under it and whatnot, just put different members in. And then went on a short run tours. I ended up meeting my wife on one of those. And then,
that's a story for when we interview again another time.
Yeah, right. And so
Justin Ross, part two,
the wife. Yeah. So, yeah, then SoCo finally ran its course and I decided, you know, I just wanted to do my own thing. And that's what I started doing. And acoustic shows have always come so naturally, in a sense, because that's where I started, was
right,
a classical guitar. So being able to play a normal acoustic, your regular acoustic guitar, I was still able to do all those things that I was doing on electric. Now I could do all those on acoustic, and still my thing was to make them sound as clean as possible running through.
It probably actually did you a big benefit because it strengthened your fingers and hardened your calluses. Electric's a lot different. Hey, I just a side note. Am I the only one in the podcast chat this morning that has noticed that our guest Justin has lots of voices? I'm like, I mean, every when you're telling your stories, you all of a sudden start in different voices. Like, man, if you ever get tired of being, you know, a soulful rock guy, go into voiceover work. I feel like right now I could be like, man, you know what? We're going to do something really weird here. You ready to get weird? Yeah. All right. Okay. So about last night's show, just a real synopsis of how the show went, but I want you to do it in the movie trailer voice. Okay. And action.
In Addison, Texas, on one crappy night, a band pulls in from Nashville, loads in, and his wife doesn't understand that it's going to take 2 hours to load in for this fucking show. She calls. The phone rings. It's her on the other line. Bitch, I am loading in. I gotta go.
All right, that was good. Okay, now I'm the director here, and that so one of those musicians that you started in your first band with, the guy that sounded kind of like Sean Penn from the day, dude, that was a shoe against my skull.
Yeah, bro. Hey, listen.
Okay, so I want you to in the style that you came up with when you were talking about, dude, like I listened to it in my headphones. That guy. Okay, now I want you to give us an example of how you would negotiate playing at a club.
I have one bag of pot. I just want 1 hour of a show. Can we do a swap, please?
There you go. That was good. Very succinct. Okay. And one last one. We're just showing your chops off today, bud. Oh, I'm going to challenge you. Let's go back in time.
Oh, shit.
And the style of William Shatner. I want to hear how you proposed to your wife.
Will you finally marry me, bitch?
Oh my God, that's so.
That's what it would have been. Right there. No, I will not.
That is terrible. And by the way, do not let your wife hear this, because at the end of every one of your little voiceover, you're like, bitch.
Yeah, I know. She's going to kill me. I'll love her to death, though.
So the peeps out there, they've been listening to you, and I hope they're having as good a time as we are. Let's all this music. Let's prove it. Let's talk about Right Back Up, which so that was released on radio recent March of 2021, and then streaming services in April. Why don't you set this up for us, and then we're gonna play it. We're gonna get down to it.
So one man that you haven't heard me talk about that I absolutely fell in love with was ZZ Top.
They got legs.
Yeah, they do, man. Eliminator was one of my favorite records growing up. And I've always wanted to just do a three trio rock and roll band. I've always wanted that. And it's always fell into, you know, either I'm doing acoustic shows or I've got a four piece or I've got a six piece. And the cards have never fallen to have the trio. And the band I have now, I will take the Pepsi challenge any day against any fucking band out there. I mean, we're strong, tight. We know each other, but we know each other's movements before anybody. And so it was perfect timing to get in and start recording. And so Right Back Up was a song that my buddy Johnny Cooper and I kind of put together with another band called Sidecar. And we did it acoustic. He would be on bass, I'd be on acoustic. We had harmonies on it. We had the structure laid out. We had the vocal, you know, everything laid out. But I was like, man, this sounds so cool with the trio. So we worked it up with the band. And then we got Renee Azuna to come in and play sax on it. Very renowned and well-known sax player from Fort Worth. And he came in and just, oh God, dude, just slayed this thing. Two takes. Damn. Slayed it. And I was like, that's it, man. That's that Huey Lewis in the News meets ZZ Top, kick you in your face, rock and roll. This is fun. And
the heart and soul, if you will.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, of rock and roll. To be continued.
Nice. Yeah. Spike set.
Set, yes. And so we did another one called, that's on the record, called Break My Heart. And that one was a little bit more grittier. And then we just kept going from there. So Right Back Up, this was a really fun song to put together. And I heard a story about a guy that a buddy, he had met this chick at a bar and they hooked up and went down to go, you know, mess around. But instead of getting a hotel, they went down, there's, you know, a couple of rivers around here, and they went and parked down by the creek and started messing around and laying out under the stars kind of deal. And he went to go take a piss. And the next thing you know, he's hearing the car door slam and she took off with his car.
Oh my God.
Now get this. A couple of weeks later, he's at a bar. There's his car. sees his car at a bar and goes in, and there's that chick and she's sitting on another dude. And he's like, keys. And she handed him the keys and he got his car back. But then she ended up with another dude and he was like, it was so good that I didn't call the police on her because I got my car back. And I was like, no, I would have totally called the police. he's like, no, man, you bitch. Don't understand. This girl.
I'm wondering, did he warn the next guy that she was talking to?
There it is. As he's leaving, she's leaving with another dude in his car. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, there's a song in there somewhere, man.
Hell and so yes.
It's the fact that, yeah, takes him down there to the riverside. They start getting in awe. She takes off with his car. He's watching her red taillights disappear into the distance. And then he sees her and he's like right back up. Like he's right back on board. Like, all right, well, fuck. Maybe this time I'll throw her a toaster too where I'm at it. You know what I mean? Just like whatever it's going to be. You know,
it's too bad that you already used the red tail lights over the hill line.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's what it was. That was for right back up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just a great music video right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's another bit of news. We went to Nashville this week and we had a lot of great success up there meeting with a few folks, but we've decided that this next week we're going to start planning out all the music videos for this record. Cause if you listen to it front to back, it all tells a story. It almost every song runs together in the storyline. And so we're talking about making almost like a comic book issue of a music video to run from start to finish.
Nice.
And we already got one of those done, which was for the title track for Into the Dark. There is a music video for Into the Dark.
That is- oh, man, it sounds like this is going to be your wall or... what am I trying to say here? Yeah. Your Operation Mindcrime, because Operation Queensryche did that with Operation Mindcrime with that. You know, what was it like? I remember sweet dreams, you bastard. Yeah. Anyway, that's very cool. I think that's a great idea. And well, actually, Jessica and I will be in Nashville about 2 weeks.
Nice.
Anyhow, let's let the people out there who are chomping at the bit there. They're out there right now going, play a goddamn song. All right.
You read my mind, man.
Exactly. So you are listening to Houston, brought to you exclusively on Seattle Wave Radio and recorded on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. You are listening to Right Back Up by today's guest, The Heat, Mr. Justin Ross.
Tell me, baby, what do you want? Let's head down there to the water, honey, and do the things that we both want to. Oh, now, child. Oh, take me down there, look to the river side. Holding on to the dark, I've been holding on too tight, and now I'm watching your red tail lights. Oh, I disappear over the hill. Take me down, 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 baby, till I hit the ground. Take me down, 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 baby, till I hit the ground. Lady, gonna be right back, oh, baby, huh? Right back, oh. Between your lips too tight, and you got a look, you've been shooting at me out the corner of your eye, mama. Well, take me down there, look to the river side. Holding on to the dark, I've been holding on too tight, and now I'm watching your red tail lights. Oh, I disappear over the hill, baby. Take me down, 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 baby, till I hit the ground. Take me down, 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 baby, till I hit the ground, child. And if you're gonna be right back, baby, right back, oh. Ooh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Ooh. To the riverside, holding on to the dark. I've been holding on to tight, and I'm watching your red tail lights all disappear over the hill. Or disappear over the hill. We'll disappear over the hill. Down, baby, till I hit the ground. Take me down, 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 baby, till I hit the ground. Child, baby, you're gonna be right back, oh, baby, right back, oh.
are back. Hopefully you're still with us. After hearing that song, you're probably like, okay. That first 2 hours of the interview where they talked about everything else but playing music was worth it. Dude, great song, ass kicker. It makes so much more sense now after getting a lot of your story.
This is the emergency broadcast system. This is not a test. The Center for Disease Control has reported an outbreak of a new virus that affects the brain and regenerates dead tissue, prolonging life after clinical death. Please remain calm and listen to the radio or TV for official news updates. Please stand by for an action message from your local authorities.
What the hell was that? The hell is it? Is that Cracky's Corner theme music? I don't remember telling anyone that we could put it in here. Mark, what's going on? Cracky, why are you smiling?
Word on the street is that people out there want more of Cracky. So me and Mark worked out a deal. You're going to sit tight, and we're going to head into Cracky's debut corner.
Okay. Well, I guess here's the debut of Cracky's Corner. But by the way, Cracky, just so you know, the word on the street that people want more Cracky? No, the word on the street is people want more crack. Crack.
Oh.
All right, on with it. I hate you guys.
Welcome to Cracky's Corner, and this week I want to talk about the debut edition of Cracky's Corner. I want to talk about something really exciting, the world of statistics. We all love statistics, right?
Oh, yeah, but...
Right.
Statistics, Cracky? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, specifically correlation. So the relationship or connection between two or more things, and this goes back to last week when I was house-sitting, because you do not pay me enough at Houston. From living on the streets, so I had to pick up some other work. And the only type of job I can get is house sitting, where the only rule is, okay, just sit there and try not to break anything. And I hook up a gig at a beautiful place. I got to drink my cheap scotch for a week, not on my dirty linoleum floor, but in this beautiful home, beautiful hardwood floors overlooking the water. And now when Cracky sees a critter in his apartment, unwanted critter, he'll typically go to Home Depot or Lowe's, right?
Right.
Whoever's sponsoring Seattle Wave Radio, and gets the ant traps or whatever and hopes for the best. But instead of letting Cracky go at it in this home, I was getting into Bill Murray mode, like in Caddyshack. Mm-hmm. I was getting ready to go over the Gophers.
Vermin.
Yeah. The homeowners decided they would just hire a professional exterminator. I don't know. I think I could have handled it, but whatever. As the exterminator was walking in, he noticed my t-shirt and he commented on it. On the back, it said, "The greatest band you've never heard." Ray, you know who that is?
I do. Yep.
Tell us who that is.
Travis Larson Band.
Travis Larson Band. I was wearing my 20th anniversary t-shirt. Travis Larson, alumni of Houston.
Yep.
Putting out a new record too, so be ready for that.
Yep.
But a lot of times people mistakenly equate my passion for music with talent. And I want to say there is zero correlation on that in my case. You've heard my famous line here, I own a guitar. Yeah. And that is the truth. I'll take lessons for a couple months and I let life get in the way. I'll dust off the cobwebs and repeat that every two or three years. The only way I'd make money busing is if people paid me just to stop playing. But when I tell people I'm not that good, they assume I'm just being humble and they think I'm some sort of Eddie Van Halen prodigy, which is hilarious to me. And so first case study, the exterminator. I extol the greatness of Travis Larson Band. We start talking music a bit. And of course, it gets around to, he says, oh, are you in a band? Of course, I laugh and say no.
I have a guitar.
But he's probably, but he's looking at my rock star good looks and sees his house and probably thinks I own it and I bought it with my multiple platinum record sales, right? And then he does ask the question, do you play? And I say, I own a guitar. And he laughs and he says, oh, well, that means you're good. Oh, I'm like, no, man, I just know enough to appreciate real players. And he said, all right, now I know you're just being humble.
Oh, God. And
seriously, man, I barely know four chords. And he says, hey, that's all you need sometimes. And there have been careers built on less, but I'm definitely not there yet. And then he went on to give me the detailed history of his time playing percussion in his high school orchestra.
Oh,
yeah. So I sent him to the basement to check for mice. After that, case study number two, it just doesn't happen with unknowing pest control prodigies. But pros fall for it as well. If you remember our last show with Mick McHaley, told him the same damn thing. I own a guitar. And he was convinced by my humility of my playing skills. I think so much that I think he was ready to offer me a position in his band Europe as a guitar player. Yeah.
That literally would be the final countdown.
Yeah. More statistics I was working on.
Oh, God.
Band t-shirts. That's most of my wardrobe. It's not serving me well on OKCupid and Match.com. But I did discover there is a correlation between t-shirt price and venue size. So if you go see a show at a good dive bar, you can get a t-shirt for $8 to $10. Small venue, maybe 10 to 12. And then it goes up from there. You know, your medium-sized venues, you're paying 20 to 30. Stadium tours. I took my niece to see Taylor Swift. It was like $45 for a t-shirt.
And that's a ridiculous deal.
Yeah. So there is a perfect correlation there.
Nice.
And my conclusion this week, conclusion, what you're going to take away from this, from Cracky's Corner, there's always a lesson. Although I just kind of pigeonholed myself. I got to come up with a lesson every week now. The conclusion or lesson this week is go to the small venues, support new and rising artists like a lot of the ones you hear. You're going to save money. You can buy a t-shirt and you'll look cool doing that. This is Cracky's Corner, the corner your mom warned you about.
That was badass, Cracky. That was badass.
Hey, this is Travis Larson, and you're listening to Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. Oh, by the way, the music is provided by Travis Larson Band, and I'm sure you have better things to do with your time than listen to the show, but charity is always accepted.
Hey, this is Justin Ross, and you're listening to Cracky's Corner, the one your mama warned you about.
Okay. I guess I see where I fall in the grand spectrum of things. Anyway, how about we get back to our interview with Justin? Sorry about that, Justin. Oh, where? That was weird. Okay, hold on. I'm sorry to do that to you. I'm going to back up for a second. In the green room before we start the show, Justin told us that his house was haunted. And he said, and I was like, you know, we were like, okay, haha. No, he's like, no, seriously, because sometimes at night, that we can hear the strings on our guitars floating. Did anybody else see on the back wall? He's got a light back there. And on the back wall, just literally just now, I literally watched, like, I don't want to say a shadow of a person walk by, but something went by it. And it was like either your light flickered or that some bitch is in there with you right now, Justin. Just saying. Yeah, right there.
Right there,
yeah. Where that light is, either it flickered or something went by it. I'm not kidding. That was really weird. Anyway,
Daryl,
get out of my house.
Right now, there's somebody going, "Hey, Steve, what you doing? Yeah. You think Art Bell's good? You should turn into Houston. They got this guy on there, Justin. He's got a ghost in his room. So we're gonna delve into a whole nother radio demographic here." Do you mind sticking around for a few more questions?
Sure, absolutely.
Awesome. We're having a great time. I wanted to congratulate my co-host today, Cracky. We are actually going to start something today. Justin, your interview is going to be the debut of what we're going to be calling Cracky's Corner.
Oh.
And it's debuting.
How much for a G-bag, man? How much for a G-bag? You know what I'm saying?
It's the corner your mama told you to avoid. So.
She told me about a lot of those corners.
So, obviously, you got a lot of stuff going on. You've got all this music. What'd you say, 34 songs releasing this year?
So, it'll be, we just released 12. And then October, we're shooting for 10.
Okay.
To be released then. And then we're shooting for another 12 come May next year. So, in 12 months, I'll be...
Oh, in 12 months next year. That's great. So... Normally at this point I'd say, so what are you up to now? But obviously you're kicking some ass is what up to.
We got 11 music videos to shoot and we got 10 songs to record.
Jesus, man. Well, I know we've been having a lot of fun today and that's what it's all about. But I just want to tell you from one artist brother to another, I'm real proud of you, man. This COVID time, a lot of brothers, a lot of sisters, a lot of pain. A lot of careers, obliterated. And having insight is such a powerful tool that your parents equipped you with to be able to look and see this as an opportunity. And it's like in the military, they teach you to run at an ambush. And not only did you run, but shit, you were like, hell, come on, fellas. I mean, you brought the whole damn crowd with you. Yeah. So, all right. So this is back to getting people to know you a little bit better. So this is what we call the lightning fast. You can't think, just answer the damn question or we'll release the embarrassing photos of you segment.
Sweet.
We may do that anyway.
Yeah. The one on my right toe is awesome.
Yeah. I got a pretty screwed up right toe as well. The, what's his name? Peter. What's the guy's name that the guy that did, Lord of the Rings, Peter Jackson. Yeah, Peter Jackson's, he calls me up every now and then when he needs shots of hobbit feet.
I thought you were about to tell me that your right toe looked like Peter Jackson. I'd be like, that's kind of fucked up. I my right toe and go, Peter, geez, what a great movie.
All right. Enough Bunyan talk, ladies.
Cracky's like the podcast, please. Okay, here we go with the questions.
All right.
And remember I said, no thinking, just answering. All right, let's get to know the man behind the badassery of Justin Ross. Okay, favorite drink?
Vegas bomb.
Favorite food? Hold on. Vegas bomb, what is that?
Crown Malibu, Peach Schnapps, and Red Bull.
Oh, there you go. A little girly drink, but awesome. I thought you were going to say...
It goes down smooth, and I like it.
All right. Well, now I want you to answer the next couple questions in that girl's voice right there. You did it to yourself. What's your favorite food?
Crawfish.
There you go. Okay. There you go. What is your favorite thing to do when you're not playing music?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I like to sit on the couch and stare at the TV that's not even on.
Nice. Just kind of
sorry to be boring on that one, but yeah, dude, when I'm not working, I'm glued to the couch and loving on my dog and hanging out with my wife and doing nothing.
I'm happy that you didn't say the B word after you said your wife.
Yeah, that's just not.
It's all in good fun. You're damn right it's in good fun. And she's married to a musician, so she's got to have a good sense of humor, for God's sakes.
Dude, if she was in this room right now, she would tell me to get fucked.
Yeah, nice. I think your wife and my wife would get along just fine.
Yeah.
All right. Most embarrassing thing that has ever happened to you on stage?
Oh, my God, dude. I was 20 years old. Ran off the stage to go crowd surf and nobody caught me. Just went right. I was a little high too. So, it's probably not the best thing. And I'm a big dude. I wouldn't catch me either. I was just like, I hit the ground and just kept playing. just crawled.
Just kept going. Can you see the people in the audience? They're like, yeah, yeah. And then you go to do a crowd surfing thing and they're like, holy shit.
Yeah, totally.
Back up.
Yeah, bad back idea. Up. That was all my first and last time.
And the fact that you answer that, you're doing really well at this lightning fast thing. So you're okay. Now, your most embarrassing thing that has happened off stage.
I don't think I have one because I always turn everything into a joke. So it's kind of a fail safe. If I fuck up, I just, you know, I'm just like, yeah, don't worry, I'm fat. Shit happens.
It's like on stage. You missed that note. No, I didn't. That was jazz.
I would totally look at my band and be like, way to not hit that tom, bro.
Yeah.
You know, like that one tom mattered.
So what you're saying is you are not Miles Davis and there is such thing as a wrong note.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I will flip chords.
Okay. Well, you did really good. Hey, Mark and Cracky, either one of you guys have anything you want to jump in and ask this gentleman before we get ready to let him go about his day?
No, Houston and the Booze Fighters are ready for some new music. I don't know if you're familiar with the Booze Fighters.
Yeah, am I? I was patch holder for 10 years. Yeah.
Really? All right. So originally I saw some of his videos and apparently Justin's got quite a following from the Booze Fighters Motorcycle Club. And yeah. I saw the word Booze Fighters. I'm like, oh, they must be a pleasant bunch of sober people just getting together to share their love of motorcycles. And no, Booze Fighter, they aren't fighting the booze at all.
They're a drinking club with a motorcycle problem.
Yeah, and those shows look like a ton of fun, and I got to get to one of those as soon as you guys hit the road again.
Yeah, man, those are always a lot of fun. They do a big national meet like twice a year. It's been a couple of years since we played the last one we played, but when we did, there's a live video of it. We shot Faithful to the Bottle. The song Faithful to the Bottle was a single that was out. It was never put onto an album. We did on the Big Casino record, we did a piano version of it. But Faithful to the Bottle was written as an innuendo to the Boost Fighter Motorcycle Club. And so everything in there is a play on words as to the history of the club. And there's a part two to that, which is on my last record, self-titled, that is called Behind the Bottle. And that is the part two to that. And now there's a part three that's going to be coming out in October to this. And it's called The Mountain Through Me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really want to be a part of that club, but the only bike I have is a Trek. And I don't think I'm going to be admitted.
No.
So I'll have to watch the show from the fringes and try and stay out of trouble.
Justin, he's full of shit. Cracky rides a Schwinn.
A Schwinn?
It's got a basket. Right. Now, here's the funny thing. I want to make sure you get a good look at Cracky here because that son of a bitch will actually show up at one of your shows. Just promise me, Justin, for God's sakes, dude, bring back the crowd surfing. Just jump right at him.
No, I'm going to throw Cracky off in that motherfucker. You watch. There he goes. One of God's own creations. Too rare to live, too weird to die.
Some of the best shows are when I've been kicked in the head by the singer.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not raising my foot that high, dude.
Well, no, while you're crowd surfing. Give me a good kick. Fishbone, Jesus Lizard, all good stuff.
Yeah. Well, you just reminded me. I mean, it's the things that happen at show, no matter what kind of show it is. The weirdest thing that ever happened to me was a buddy of mine was coming in from, I don't remember where he was coming, maybe Germany or something. We knew each other back when in the Germany days. We were walking down the streets of Seattle and this club owner walks out and puts a marquee out and he's like, yeah, Tommy Chong tonight. And we're like, wait a minute, Tommy Chong from Cheech and Chong? He's here tonight? Oh yeah, we decided it's just a last minute show edition. He said, if you want to get tickets, you can get them now. And we're like, okay, shit, we went and got tickets and came back a little bit later and we got front row. Don't ever be in the front row at a comedy show ever. And I think I'm maybe the only moron who doesn't know that. But at the time, that was like 20 years ago. So we sat in front of a little round table, us three guys, a giant plate of nachos. Tommy Chong comes out on stage. One of the first things he does is walk over and stick his mitt right in the middle of our nachos and shoves it into his face, you know, and they're like, oh, well, I've had enough nachos for that. And then about a half hour later, he literally raped my leg and just got on there and hump it. And, you know, and
did
then
he
when
hug,
you're,
did he hug the kneecap or?
Oh, no, no. He,
man, you know, let me ask you, what was it? The right foot or? Was the guy from Lord of the Rings going to be jealous?
it was a threesome between Tommy Chong, my kneecap and my big toe that looks like Peter Jackson.
You weren't involved though.
I wasn't involved. Yeah. You know, my counselor told me that it wasn't my fault.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm starting to think that he might be full of shit. So how could people out there find out about you, brother?
JustinRossMusic.com. It's where you can find out everything. I've got the EPK on there. Got the links to all the music, the socials, everything. JustinRossMusic.com. Nice. We're going to be updating it this weekend. We finally filled in the rest of the dates for the year. So we'll be updating the calendar. We're going to be updating the EPK on there. We'll be updating all the news and blogs and all that stuff going on. So we got a ton of work to do the next 48 hours.
But yeah, no, you have a lot of stuff. Well, that's why you have a publicist too, right? To help push that.
Yes.
So, and Paige Gregory, we absolutely love you. And girl, I can't wait to finally meet you in person in a couple of weeks.
You haven't met her in person?
I haven't.
Neither have I.
Really?
No, I haven't.
No. So her grandmother is Jessica's, who my wife is a country artist.
We have more FaceTime, you and I, right now than I have with Paige.
Really?
Yes.
And everybody, just so they know why he's calling me Rick, is because my tag on my thing says Rick James.
That's right. Rick James.
Rick James.
I just want to give a shout out to Mark right quick. You are a stone cold motherfucker, man. You were just sitting there not making a smile. Just every time I look up, I'm like, dude, is that the guy from X-Men? What the fuck am I looking at?
Well, he's still shot.
He's been
still shot.
He has been laughing, man. We've got him cracking up. Hey, and if you haven't done this yet, talk to Paige. Seriously, get your music to Mark, because Seattle Wave Radio is he's got different channels on there and keeps it up to date and legit, and huge music supporters. Everyone in this group right here just is all about the love for music. Absolutely. So cool. So your website, Justin Ross Music. Music.com. Cool. And of course, but you're on all the social medias, the Twitch, the TikTok, the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, all that kind of stuff. But sounds to me like your website is a great place to go because it's comprehensive and has everything there.
It's all there.
Exactly. It's got your mug plastered on the front of the cover. So that's
cool. Yes, it does. About to update that too. Yeah.
Cool.
And Pornhub.
Yeah, it's got my Pornhub link on there. It's toes. Yeah.
Toes.
Preferably the right ones.
Hey, you leave Peter Jackson alone.
Oh, Peter Jackson. If you ever start a band, that needs to be Rick James and the Peter Jackson Toes.
Yeah. or just Peter Jackson. People will be like, I wonder if it's gonna be the Lord of the Rings or the King Kong version of Peter Jackson. Anyhow, well, hey, man, it has been just an absolute joy. And I hope I think we've laughed more in this interview than we've ever laughed before. And that's great, because hopefully you had a good time and the people out there, more importantly, get to know who the hell you are. Your beautiful story with your parents and everything like that. It's time to pay it back. Okay. We all know what's happened over this last year and a half. I'm going to give you the final thought of the day. And I sound like, feel like Jerry Springer now. You get the final thought of the day. Any advice for your artist brothers and sisters out there, the sound guys, the light guys, the club guys, any advice you'd have for them right now?
Work hard. Don't stop. Keep going. When people say you can't, just don't even take it in. Keep going. Use it as fuel. Anybody who says you can't do something is full of shit. You can do whatever you want. I've seen things in my life that will make grown men break down and cry just from knowing that they accomplished this. So every musician out there, Anybody who says the music industry is too hard, sure it is. If it was easy, we'd all be signed and making millions of dollars, but we're not. So keep doing it and don't stop.
Great advice. And with that, I want to thank our listening audience for tuning in today to listen to our interview with The Heat, Justin Ross. Today on Houston, and of course, brought to you exclusively by our partners on Seattle Wave Radio, and we record on Squadcast, the ultimate podcast collaboration platform. Cracky, Mark, Justin, I bid you au revoir.
Au revoir.
I appreciate your time today, man. It was fun.
You got it, man. Appreciate you guys so much. Thank you for everything. Guys, we say.
Thank you, later. Justin.
Better, guys.
Better. All right, see ya.
Thank you for tuning into Houston on Seattle Wave Radio. Keep an eye out for our next mission where we interview and unveil behind-the-scenes aspects of some of your favorite artists. Houston, Seattle Wave Radio base here. Our podcast has landed.
Got a belly full of wine. My Majesty's a pretty nice girl. Someday I'm gonna make her mine. Oh yeah, someday I'm gonna make her mine.